It's Hanukkah today on the Line of Fire, and anti-Semitism is rising again in the world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? We wished everyone happy Hanukkah a couple of days ago as the Hanukkah celebration began on Tuesday night. We posted on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, Happy Hanukkah. The darkness is fading and the true light is already shining, so wishing happy Hanukkah, but also a quote from 1 John 2 pointing to Yeshua. And the very first comment that we got on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown again, which is a good reach of people, well over 500,000, and millions reached through it. But the very first comment we received was this: "We will kill all the Israelis one by one. Our dream will finish soon. Promise. Palestine free." Yeah, so that's what's out there, friends. That continues to be the sentiment of many Jew haters around the world, not just Israel haters, but Jew haters. The good news is God's kingdom and purposes will triumph in the world. This is Michael Brown. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. If you have a Jewish-related question of any kind, question about Judaism or Jewish tradition, a question about Israel today, a question about the Hebrew Bible or the Hebrew language or Messianic prophecy or Jewish background to the New Testament or anything like that that is Jewish related, we take those questions specifically on Thursday. So give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A lot to cover, a lot of interesting things to discuss with you today. But let me start here. I've been doing a lot of reading about ultra-Orthodox Judaism, specifically Hasidic Judaism, in recent days, a topic I've read on much over the years. And I was reminded by how many of the very, very religious Jewish leaders, Hasidic leaders, other ultra-Orthodox Jewish leaders, in the late 1800s and then specifically in the early 1900s, strongly opposed the Zionist movement as it really began in the early 1900s. They strongly opposed it. They saw it as godless. They saw the leaders behind it as godless. And there were very, very few religious Jews involved with the Zionist movement, the modern Zionist movement at the turn of the last century. And they also saw it as preempting the work of the Messiah. They said when the Messiah comes, he'll regather the exiles, and to try to do that prematurely is to get in the way of God's plan, and will even increase worldwide anti-Semitism. These were some of their concerns, but one of the biggest concerns was you don't want an Israel that is not a Torah-observant Israel. You don't want an Israel that is not a religious Israel, and this is largely a secular movement. Now, a lot of their concerns have proven true, and in point of fact, although Orthodox Judaism is growing rapidly within Israel, especially because of high birth rates among the very religious, the fact is it is still largely a more secular than religious nation. But over the decades, the views of many traditional Jews changed. Why? Well, the Holocaust. And they realized that this could be God's plan to bring Jewish people back to the land and to have a place of refuge for the Jewish people, and that this was part of the paving the way for the Messiah to come. And there are many Christians who see it the same way. They recognize that Israel today is not a perfect state by any means. They recognize the Jewish people there need Jesus, yet they recognize that God is at work in the midst of it, part of his larger plan of end time restoration and ultimately preparing the way for the Messiah to come. We return, I want to take issue with some extreme remarks from a Muslim leader in America today. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the broadcast. That music you hear reminds you that it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown here. Happy Hanukkah to all of our listeners and viewers. Remember, there's no ch sound in Hebrew. If you ever see ch, it is ch, not ch. 866-34-TRUTH with your Jewish-related questions. A couple things before I get into remarks that I want to take strong exception to. I'm looking at our YouTube live chat. A question from Redeemed. When are you ever going to update your show music? Change the World song is getting so old. How about some Messianic Jewish worship like Paul Wilbur or something? Ah, we use Paul Wilbur's music sometimes on Thursdays, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. It is Jewish themed, hence using it on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. But Change the World, no, that's not getting old. That's our overall theme. Jesus Revolution, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. That's like an old number one theme songs. You stay with them for years and years and years because they're just that, theme songs. Shake the nations, take the gospel to the nations. Hey, that's who we are. That's what burdens us day and night. Someone said something to me about my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, that came out in 1991. And they said, I wish you could have just stayed with that message until we changed. In other words, the book's important, but we haven't changed yet. Well, of course, we stay with the message. The book stays in print. And we keep getting it out. But all the more, we're going to keep singing that song until we see change come to the world. All right, let me change topics now. I know that there are many peace-loving Muslims in the world today. Whether you consider them to be true authentic Muslims or compromised Muslims is a totally separate issue. I know that there are many peace-loving Muslims in the world today. I know there are many who abhor the violence associated with radical Islam, and in the name of Allah today, they abhor it, they hate it, they're embarrassed by it. I know many who are devoted to their families. I know many who, in their own way, are God-fearing, God-loving. No, I believe they're in error and they need the Lord Jesus, of course, but in their own consciousness, they're trying to please God and serve God. I know there are many people who are fine citizens of their nations, who are Muslims. I understand that. So I am not blasting all Muslims here. I want to speak specifically to some comments made by the executive director and founder of CARE, which is the Council of American Islamic Relations. Listen to these comments that he recently made.
Extremist religious group in the United States, the evangelicals, who somehow erroneously believe that God commands injustice by recognizing the Israeli occupation of Palestine. We challenge these evangelicals who believe in God, how come they believe in injustice against Christians and Muslims in Palestine? We believe that Donald Trump is empowering Christian religious extremism in the United States. And that has to be scored.
Whoa. If you are an evangelical Christian, according to the executive director and founder of CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations, you are an extremist. You are a religious extremist. If you believe that the Jewish people should have their own homeland in territory that is 1/650th of the largest surrounding Arab Muslim territory, if you believe that they should be allowed to go back to their own homeland, if you believe that the UN was right in recognizing Israel's right to a homeland, then you are a religious extremist. And obviously this is on the heels of President Trump saying that, yes, we will officially recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, which it is. It is the functioning capital of Israel. It has been since 1950, and before that, going back to 1000 BC. And it was never a functioning capital of Palestine or the Muslim or Arab world before that. Fact. These are simple facts. Let's go a little further here. To say that what this gentleman is saying is that the Jewish people should not be in Palestine, period. This is what he's actually saying. They should not be there. The whole thing, in his view, is an occupation. Notice he spoke of Palestine as a whole, and it's oppressing Christians. The fact of the matter is, Christians have more liberty in Israel than they do under Hamas in Gaza Strip, or under the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, or in any surrounding Muslim country. Christians have far more protections, far more liberties, and in the surrounding areas, if you convert from Islam to Christianity, you can be killed. In Israel, you convert from Islam to Christianity, Christianity to Islam, and the government's not going to do anything because that's your white right to do what you want to do. Let's also remember that CARE, by a court of law, was found to be working with groups like Hamas. This is as far back as 2009, 2010. Let me share a little bit more with you about CARE. Here, Nihad Awad, who is head of CARE, August 22, 2014, it was reported that he stated that Israel, not ISIS or other global terror groups, quote, is the biggest threat to world peace and security. It targets civilians, has weapons of mass destruction, and doesn't respect international laws or values. So Israel, not ISIS, not other terrorist groups, Israel is the greatest threat to world peace and security. Extraordinary. You know what's also extraordinary? A major poll just taken in Israel, and the sizable majority of Israeli Arabs were proud to live in Israel and proud to be called Israelis. Striking, isn't it? Deborah Weiss, who has been outspoken, an attorney outspoken against CARE for some years, said this. CARE, again, this is the Council on American Islamic Relations. CARE appears to have three main goals. One is to silence all criticism of anything related to Islam, including Islamic terrorism. Second, it seeks to Islamize the workplace. And third, it works actively to hamper American national security. And as I've looked at CARE, my concerns have only increased. So, to the leaders of CARE, I offer you a public debate. Let us have a public, civil, moderated debate on whether Israel is the real threat to world peace and security, whether evangelical Christians are religious extremists, or whether CARE supports religious extremists. You have my open invitation today. All right, 866-348-7884 is the number to call with your Jewish-related questions. Just looking at some of our YouTube conversation. Remember, if you are watching on YouTube, normally I'm not able to respond to comments or questions that are posted there, but phone number is open for all of you to call in, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's get back to Hanukkah for a moment. What you have to realize is that as Hellenism was spreading, the great appeal of the ancient Greek world, as Hellenism was spreading, there were many Jews that bought into it, many Jews who did not want to be separated from the rest of the world. Many Jews who really were not interested in having a religion that was different than ever. They wanted to be like the nations. They wanted to fit in. And as bizarre as this seems, in the ancient world, there were Olympic-type games, and the men would be competing often in the nude. And that meant that if you were circumcised, you would be standing out as a Jew around others who were uncircumcised. And as even more bizarre this sounds, there were Jewish men then who, through great pain and effort, had uncircumcision operations. In other words, skin grafted on so it would look like they had not been circumcised so they could publicly compete and look like the rest of the world. And there were others who wanted to maintain Judaism, but in a syncretistic way, meaning that it would bring in with it other expressions and other religious insights and things like that, and thereby dilute it and compromise and pollute it. So it was only a godly remnant that was willing to fight back at the cost of losing life. And that's why we celebrate Hanukkah. That's why we celebrate the Maccabees. Because in order to go against the mighty Greek Empire, against all possible odds, and when you did not have even the whole nation of Israel standing up together for you, in order to do that, it meant a lot of sacrifice, a lot of suffering. So Hanukkah is not remembered without blood. There was blood that was shed. There were people dying for their faith. And this is not the first time it's happened in Jewish history, but it was a precursor to much of what would happen in subsequent centuries. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday as we celebrate Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. The word Hanukkah means dedication, celebrating the rededication of the temple. Caleb, one of our great audio-video technicians here working with us, told me that he saw a meme earlier. How do you explain Hanukkah to a non-Jew? Well, it's like having 10% showing on the battery life on your cell phone, and yet it lasts for 8 days. And we should say 8 days with full usage. For all those who are watching on YouTube or are going to see this radio broadcast later today on our Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel, I just want to put this on the screen for you. This was from Facebook. This is when we put up our Happy Hanukkah greetings a couple days ago. The darkness is fading and the true light is already shining. We blotted out the guy's name. He's subsequently been blocked from our page, but I don't want you to try to look him up or bombard him with negative stuff. But this is the very first comment that came in after we posted the Happy Hanukkah greetings. We will kill all the Israelis one by one. Our dream will finish soon. Promise, Palestine free. Now, here's what I want to emphasize. You might say, okay, that's ugly, that's despicable, that's inexcusable, but it's not saying Jews, it's saying Israelis. I understand that. But let's remember, when President Trump officially declares Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and says we're going to move our embassy there, what happens? There is a bombing of a synagogue in Sweden, and they're going to kill all the Jews. This is some of the rhetoric coming forward. So here's the issue, all right? Here's the issue that as this is going on, it's not just America that's being attacked or President Trump that's being attacked. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that Jews are being attacked. Not just Americans, President Trump, not just Israelis, but Jews. Why? Because often anti-Zionism is just a mask for Jew hatred in general. Let me illustrate something for you. Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, has recently made some comments talking about Jews are faking history, even as the Quran says. So he's not just talking anti-Israel, he's talking anti-Jew, okay? And there is an article on Palestinian Media Watch, palwatch.com. And it's a website you want to visit regularly because it just tells you what Palestinian Authority, what Hamas, what they are actually saying and publishing and posting and promoting. So here, here's a statement. Again, this is on Palestinian TV, PATV, Palestinian Authority TV. Jews have no history in Palestine. Trump's decision on Jerusalem aligned with the false Zionist narrative. They claim Israeli archaeologists have searched for the last 70 years and have not found a single archaeological remnant related to the temple or to Jews and Palestine in general. They claim there is no documentation the Western Wall was ever a place of worship for Jews before the Balfour Declaration was issued in 1917. Mahmoud Abbas's advisor, quote, "The Jews have no connection to this land, not religiously or historically. Palestinian Authority minister. Israel's claims regarding the finding of Jewish antiquities are a clear falsification of the city of Jerusalem history. PLO official. Jewish historical ties to the land are a Zionist invention. Jews are in Palestine only because Europe wanted to get rid of them. Friends, this is some of the utter absolute nonsense, lies, falsehood, lies, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish lies, not just anti-Israel, but anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. And remember, this goes back to the Quran. This goes back to Jewish rejection of Muhammad as the last great prophet. This has been found in Islamic history for centuries. But the lies often get more exaggerated. The more truth that is against them, the more exaggerated the lies often get. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to David in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to say that, I do enjoy and love what you do. But I grew up, God gave me love for Jewish people, but I'm not fully sure what exactly the love he gave me. I mean, over the years, due to my ignorance and unknowledgeable about the Bible, I approach Jewish people in an emotional way, and I don't believe it ever got anywhere. I'm addressing my doctors. All my doctors are Jewish. And some seem to be listening, some softening up a little bit. But I'm just confused, Doc. I listen to what you say, and then I'm looking at things from a realistic point of view of life. And you address, I'm just lost a little bit, Doc, and I'm really not sure what to do. This weekend I ran into a Jewish person that actually believed in Yeshua, and that was amazing. But due to the situation, I wasn't able to really talk to them.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let me give you a few thoughts, David. First, I believe it's God that put that love in your heart, and the fact that you didn't have a lot of knowledge behind it indicates that it was something that the Lord dropped in you. In other words, it's not that you thought about it, and then manufactured some feelings, that this was something in your heart you didn't even know where it came from or why. Let's remember that Scripture indicates to us that the vast majority of Jewish people worldwide do not believe in Jesus Yeshua, and that there's a hardening in part over the nation of Israel. And if Jews are raised in religious homes, they're raised very devoted to Judaism, but in a way that completely excludes Jesus or is even very negative on Jesus if he's mentioned. That church history has often been very ugly, so that Jewish people have been driven away from Jesus through a hypocritical church in many ways. So in point of fact, it's not like every Jewish person that you just reach out to with love is immediately going to say, okay, I want to hear your message. The same with Gentiles. You witness to plenty of people and only a certain amount get saved. But what I'd encourage you in is this, David. Number one, pray regularly for the salvation of Jewish people. There are several hundred thousand Jewish believers in Jesus around the earth. So we are a sizable remnant by God's grace. So pray for the salvation of Jewish people. Pray that God would open our hearts and minds, those that don't believe, that they would come to faith. And then just keep walking in love. You never know the seeds that you plant. You never know what your kindness reaps, what you're showing love. And many Jews don't know that Christians love them. Some Jews still think that all Christians hate them. So this is a great opportunity for you to say, no, we love Jewish people and care for Jewish people. Hey, I'm a Christian. And what I'd like to do, David, is send you a free copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. So stay right there. Our call screener is just going to come on. We're not going to put you on any mailing list or anything like that. But I want to send you a free copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. I think it'll deepen your heart for the Jewish people and give you further insight into who we are as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us as we are in now the second day of Hanukkah, entering the third day. Someone said, how come you're not saying Merry Christmas? Well, we get closer. We'll wish you a blessed Christmas season. Right now, it is Hanukkah. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. I'm about to go to your Jewish-related calls. So, any Jewish-related question, give me a call, 866-348-7884. But since we come your way, not just on radio, but via the internet, our broadcast goes live over various internet outlets and internet radio stations. We broadcast a live audio feed on our Facebook page. We broadcast a live video feed on our YouTube page. There is some breaking news. It is not Jewish news, but it's breaking news today. So I just want to address this. If you haven't heard, the FCC has repealed net neutrality rules. Now, right before last vote was cast, there was a bomb scare. Place was evacuated and then found out everything was okay. But reading from an article by Cecilia Kang on the New York Times, the Federal Communications Commission voted on Thursday, today, to dismantle landmark rules regulating the businesses that connect consumers to the internet, granting broadband companies the power to potentially reshape Americans' online experiences. Now, where is this going? I don't know. I am not expert in these things. I do my best to comment on things that I know the most about, have the most burden in or for, and have insights into. This is not one of them. But from what I've read, here are the concerns. Let's say that you have one internet carrier that you are using or one internet service that you are using, and someone else is broadcasting, you get their TV shows or broadcast whatever through that, and they decide, well, we want to have a surcharge for that on our network. They can do that. They could now do that. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know. Again, not expert in it. I'm not sure if people would think it's wise, you know, because then everyone's going to start pricing out the other and then squeeze the thing into oblivion. But there are concerns about censorship, that if you don't have net neutrality, that if it's not just treated as a public utility, then you could potentially have censorship of ideas that are not liked. And when you have so much of the internet controlled by giants like Google / YouTube and Facebook and things like that, should that be a cause for concern? I'm sure we'll be addressing this again, but if you didn't hear the news, I just wanted to make sure you were aware of it. All right, to the phones. We'll go to Killeen, Texas, our friend Jerakia. Welcome back to the Line of Fire.
Happy Hanukkah, Dr. Brown.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question that's really bothered me, and it has to do with, you know, the Torah. And, you know, I really appreciate your help on this. When in regards to slavery in the Bible, I don't understand the concept of why God would, you know, deliver the Israelites from slavery and then allow them to enslave Gentiles. I'm not talking about the slavery of the Jews in Exodus 21, but in Leviticus 25:44. Could you elucidate that to me? Because it really bothers me, and I don't quite understand it.
Yeah. In fact, that would be the key passage that folks would find troubling. In Leviticus 25, that if there is war that you're engaged in, you capture people from the nations, that you could potentially enslave them. So let's do this. On the other side of the break, I want to address the question. But that would be the most difficult single passage, because slavery within Israel for Israelites was humanitarian, was an economic thing, was more in the way of indentured servanthood than slavery as we know it with the horrors of, say, the African slave trade. But it's a very fair question. We'll address it on the other side of the break.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us during this Hanukkah season. You may not know it, but when you see the candles being lit for Hanukkah, that's technically not called a menorah. The menorah was the lampstand in the temple with seven branches, all right? The Hanukkiah has nine branches. So one normally in the middle, that's called the shamash, so that's the servant, the helper candle, and you light that first, and then you light the other eight candles, remembering how the little amount of oil lasted for 8 days, miraculously, supernaturally, when it should have barely lasted for one. This is as the temple was being rededicated, but that was just one small sign of God's gracious favor. Remember that the Greeks had the gall to sacrifice a pig on the temple altar in Jerusalem and to forbid various Jewish practices. This is what prompted the Jewish revolt and then the raising up of the Jewish Commonwealth so that you had an independent Jewish rule for a period of time before then Romans become the next ruling power over the Jewish people. All right, so as to Jerichia's comment, questioning about slavery under the law, let's first say this. I found it very interesting in my most recent reading through Exodus that Exodus 20, you have the Ten Commandments and then some basic laws after that. And then the very first laws that start in Exodus 21, they have to do with slavery, Israelite slaves. And what struck me was this was because God wanted the Israelites to get it right here because they had just come out of slavery. In other words, it wasn't a bad thing, but a good thing. To say, okay, this is still part of the culture, this is still part of the way that things are done, and because of that, here are guidelines to make sure you do it well, that you do it better than the world around you and the world out of which you came. So the laws are put right up front to say, get this right. Of course, you're going to have it. It's an economic thing within the country and within the world, and it's a way that poor can serve, etc., or pay off debts or whatever, but you're going to do it right. But what do you do with verses like Leviticus 25, beginning in verse 44? As for your male and maid slaves who will be with you, you may buy male and female slaves from among the nations. You may also buy from resident aliens who live among you and their families who are with you, whom they fathered in your land. They may become your property. You may give them as inherited property to your children after you to own as properties in perpetuity. You may make bond slaves of them, but no one is to rule over his fellow Israeli with harshness. So I mentioned before the break in times of war, things like that, but this is not even in times of war. This is saying under the law, this could be done. My answer to that, sir, to be as honest and candid as I can, is that as Jesus told us in Matthew 19, that God gave Moses laws about divorce because of the hardness of human hearts. I believe this was part of God's judgment on idol-worshiping nations, but in itself, it's something that is not ultimately God's ideal or what is right, which is why the law ultimately gives place to the gospel. It paves the way for the gospel and gives place to it. I could only understand it ethically as God's judgment on sinning foreign nations and part of Israel's dominance as the chief nation. But on the larger ethical level, it certainly falls short of God's ideal in terms of not bringing judgment, but bringing liberty and bringing freedom and bringing restoration. So if someone criticized it, I would say, yes, from our vantage point, it seems wrong and unacceptable. But this was not forever. This was part of the Sinai covenant, part of Israel's dominance over the nations, and this ultimately gives place now to the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, where such things are not taught and not reinforced. I'd be as honest and candid as I could. I've looked at it over the years. I don't feel that there's like something in there that, that if we could just see it, we'd understand it better. To me, it's part of Israel's dominance in the ancient world, God's judgment on the nations, and this would be right in that context. But God's ideal is for the gospel to come equally to all people. That would be my honest answer, sir.
And just real quick, like, would that apply to like a Gentile who would convert to Judaism?
Well, in the ancient world, yeah. If a Gentile became part of the people of Israel, then generations go down. He and his descendants are just like the people of Israel. So, could they own slaves like that? Yes. What would happen to a Gentile slave that converted to the faith of Israel? The text doesn't tell us. Except you could intuit from it that since you couldn't treat fellow Israelites harshly or keep them in perpetuity like this, that perhaps it could lead to their freedom under the law eventually. Hey, but thank you. Thank you for asking the question. That's my very honest answer. All right, let's go over to Texarkana, Texas. Hunter, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Chag Sameach Chanukah.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Jewish myself, but I believe that Yeshua is our Messiah, the Savior of the world, the King of the universe. One of the things that I was telling your call screen is that I'm having a very difficult time with other believers who may not necessarily, you know, whether they're Messianic Jewish, whether they're Baptist, whatever. When you talk to them about the things that we're talking about today, it's almost like an immediate wall goes up, and, you know, you ever seen a kid with their fingers in the ear, you know, saying, I don't want to hear what you're saying. But it grieves me because I try not to interject my own, you know, commentary. I go to the scriptures and I said, okay, well, let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 2. I mean, if anybody was a Jew, you know, Paul was. I mean, he was a Pharisee. I said, but even here he states who is and who isn't a Jew, and I'm trying to make them understand, you know, when we talk about the transformation of, you know, the renewing of our minds by renewing our hearts by trusting in Yeshua and believing that he saved us for our sins, you know, you are a new creature. I said, he says it right here, who truly is a Jew. It's not
let me just go a little further with that. If you read all of Romans, every time before that and every time after that he says Jew, he means someone who is a descendant of the Jewish people, a physical descendant. And
right.
If he's making a point there that the real Jew is one who's one internally, probably the better argument is between two Jews, who's the real Jew? One who's only circumcised outwardly or one who's also circumcised inwardly. But nowhere
right.
in the rest of the New Testament does he call Gentiles Jews. So,
right.
Oh, okay. Just want to be clear. So what I'd suggest is this, Hunter, that you can only do what you do in terms of opening up the scriptures, right? But if people can start to recognize, okay, Jesus himself is Jewish. You know that, right? Okay. His name was Yeshua. You know what his mother's name was? No, Miriam. Yeah. And you know what Christ means? Well, what does it mean? Messiah. So he's Yeshua the Messiah, son of Miriam. And you know that James is really Jacob. So let's read the letter of Jacob. Or some of the disciples, their names were like Yaakov, which is Jacob, or Yohanan or Shimon, and say, you know, in the New Testament, they never heard of Easter, but they practiced Passover, and Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5 about Passover. You say, well, King James in Acts 12 mentions Easter. It's just a mistranslation. It shouldn't be there. It should just say Passover. So I think many people feel some type of connection to Israel and the Jewish people as Christians. They may not know why. Some wrongly think that the church is the new Israel. But if you can get them to understand, hey, Jesus Yeshua is called Rabbi, not Reverend, and he didn't come to start a new religion called Christianity, but to fulfill what was written to Moses and the prophets, people, it starts to open up, and you say, hey, we're not trying to get Gentiles to become Jews. That's not the goal, or say that the Gentiles have to keep the law of Moses, but rather realize you're grafted into a tree that historically is a Jewish Israelite tree. Do you have my book, The Real Kosher Jesus?
I do not, Dr. Brown.
All right, tell you what, since we're getting close to the holidays, I'm going to send that to you as a gift, sir. So, Ken, The Real Kosher Jesus, I want to send that as a gift to Hunter. Hunter, stay right there. As soon as Kim, our call screener, has a moment, he's going to go and get your home address or business address, whatever. I want to send you that. Not only will it give you more insight and information, but it's a great tool to give to a Christian to help that person understand the Jewishness of Jesus. It's my number one book just to give to a Jewish person to help them understand Jesus is the Messiah, and my number one book to give to a Christian to show them the Jewish roots of their faith. All right, some more calls. In fact, we're going to go to Germany next. Take your calls from Germany and beyond when we come back. Change the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Hey, just a reminder, the first of the new year, we're going to be using a new clock. Those that begin listening at the top of the hour, so 3 o'clock Eastern Standard, 2 o'clock Central Standard, etc., we're going to be starting 3 minutes into the hour after Salem Radio News, or our SRN News. We're going to be starting right after that, and then we're going to have more radio time and less breaks. Same thing if you start listening at 3:30 Eastern Standard or 2:30 Central Standard, etc., 2:30, there'll be a 3 minute either news or whatever the local stations are airing. And then 3 minutes in, we start with more radio time and less breaks. Also, if you're watching on YouTube now, or if you are listening to the live audio feed on Facebook, it's through the generosity of many of you who've stood with us and helped us. I want to thank you as we're coming to the end of the year. Thank you for your support. It's not enriching any of us, it's enriching you. As you give to us, we can enrich you with more resources in higher quality ways. If you haven't joined us yet, can I refer you to our GoFundMe page? Go there, GoFundMe.com/ Ask Dr. Brown Studio. That's ASKDR Brown Studio. All right? GoFundMe.com/ Ask Dr. Brown, ASKDR Brown Studio. As you go there, watch the video, and as you share with us, your gifts make a great difference. And there was a whole lot more we're about to step into with your help, with your generosity. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Our goal is to minister to you and serve you and make an impact. You're helping us. When you amplify my voice, you are amplifying our voice together. All right, let's go over to Germany. Nikita, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Not very good. You know, in Germany, I have a Muslim friend, and he's from Lebanon, and he and other friends cannot understand why I support Trump's decision on Jerusalem. They always ask, where does Trump get this right from to declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel? And he just wants to cause war for a prophet of the United States, and if Jerusalem gets declared capital of Israel, then the Palestinians won't be allowed to enter Jerusalem. Or at least if
let me address this, okay? Number one, Jerusalem has always been Israel's capital. Through history, Jerusalem was the capital of United Israel, beginning under King David, 1000 BC. It has always been the recognized capital of the nation. So in exile, Jews pray every year to return to Jerusalem. And since 1950, so immediately after the birth of Israel, Jerusalem was declared the capital, and it is the functioning capital. That's where the parliament is. That's where the Supreme Court is. It is the functioning capital of Israel. So number one, every nation on earth gets to pick its capital, and the rest of the world addresses it, recognizes it. So this is Israel's capital. Why doesn't the rest of the world recognize it? That's the first thing. The second thing is that in negotiations about Israel, it's always been recognized that Jerusalem was Israel's. In other words, for many, many years, Jews have said a united, undivided Jerusalem will be our capital. Jerusalem has never been the capital of a Palestinian state. There has never been a Palestinian state. Jerusalem has never been central to the Muslim faith. Yes, it's a holy city, and it's got some important shrines there, Al-Aqsa Mosque and Dome of the Rock. But if you live in Jerusalem and near those holy places, you pray with your back towards those facing Mecca, where Jews around the world pray towards Jerusalem. And when East Jerusalem was under Arab-Muslim control in the war that ensued in 1948, the Jewish holy sites were defiled, cemeteries were destroyed, and Jews were not allowed to access the place at all. When we regained the territory in 1967, it has since been open to everyone. Muslims have safe protection, can go to the Dome of the Rock, and nobody can hurt them because they're under Israeli protection. Nothing has changed. Israel has made 100% clear that the status quo remains the same. So these are just lies that are being circulated. Christians and Muslims have freedom to practice their faith in Jerusalem because Jews control it. If it was controlled by Muslims, that wouldn't be the case. So this is just propaganda. The only way to have peace is to recognize reality. Jerusalem is Israel's capital. It has never been the capital of an Islamic or Muslim or Arab state ever. And there's no reason for it to be there now, right, except to try to divide against the Jewish people. So simple answers. The question is, will they take truth? Will your friend take truth? But hey, thanks for listening from Germany and calling from there. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yep. Hey, let me just do this real quick. I know time is short. There's a Facebook question asking, does Talmud or Mishnah address spiritual warfare or gifts of the Spirit? Well, certainly like gifts of the Spirit believes that prophecy will there'll be an infusion of prophecy at the, you know, the Messianic era. There's some text that would point in that direction. And it does believe in the demonic realm, but spiritual warfare, the way taught in the New Testament, no, that wouldn't be a concept that's found in Talmud or Mishnah. Okay, real quick, there was an article posted in Charisma News by Michael Snyder, how the number 7 biblically links Trump and Israel. And it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know what to make of it, but it's interesting. Let me just read a few parts from it, down about 5 paragraphs. The year 2017 is exactly 70 years from 1947, and many are drawing parallels between that period of time and the 7-year Babylonian exile that we read about in the Bible. All right, skip down a little bit. Donald Trump won the presidential election on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 7th year, 7th month, and 7th day in office. Now, I haven't verified this. I'm just sharing it. On Trump's first full day in office, he was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old, and it happened in year 5777 on the Hebrew calendar. Donald Trump was born exactly 700 days before Israel declared independence on May 14th, 1948. I wonder who finds this stuff. 777 days after Trump's birth, Israel was exactly 77 days old. Israel's 70th anniversary will come exactly 700 days after Donald Trump's 70th birthday. Could all these remarkable numbers simply be the result of random choice? Michael Snyder says, maybe, but I don't think so. Here's my official position. I don't know. It's interesting, though. It's interesting. And I haven't verified this, okay? But I just saw it the other day and thought I'd mention it since we're talking about Jerusalem. Does that tie in with any decisions that we make? No. Oh, we see all the sevens, and therefore we make decisions based on that. No, of course not. Of course, it's interesting. It's interesting. Now, maybe if you look for patterns of sixes, you'll find them. I don't know. Again, I'm not lending credibility to. I'm just sharing interesting information. Hey, friends, pray for me. We are in the midst of major preparation for Jewish outreach videos we're going to start recording next week. Pray for anointing, for clarity, for wisdom, and for the salvation of many Jewish people. And have a happy, blessed Hanukkah.